Poet Dinez Smith was a National Book Award finalist in 2017, but became a YouTube sensation when their reading of Dear White American went viral in 2014. Take a listen to part of it.
Dear White America, I've left Earth in search of darker planets, a solar system that revolves too near a black hole. I left a patch of dirt in my place, and many of you won't know the difference. Give it my name if it makes you feel better while you run your hands through its soiled scalp. I've left in search of a new God. I do not trust the God you have given us. My grandmother's hallelujah is only outdone by the fear she nurses each time the blood fat summer swallows another child who used to sing in the choir. Take your God back.
Smith is black, queer, and HIV positive, and makes no apologies for who they are. Smith will be reading this evening as part of the Cabin's Ghosts and Projectors Poetry Series. And Dinez Smith is joining me on the phone with more. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Gemma. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Well, I would love to know how you got into poetry. Was this something where, you know, as a kid you liked, or did it evolve as you got older? Where did that come from?
I first started writing and listening and reading poetry in high school through my theater teacher, actually. I didn't know that poets were still alive. Everybody did. They showed us in English classes up until that point. It was always, you know, long dead. And so I thought the poets were extinct. But my theater teacher, one by the name of Jan Mandel, started bringing in a lot of spoken word artists and plugging us into deaf poetry and things like that. It was poets that looked and sounded like us that were talking about things that we knew about, that were using language that we all knew how to use. And that was my first love of poetry, or the first door I got to enter through. And since then, you know, obviously I've stayed in love with it, and my understanding of it has grown.
And in fact, you say poetry really is an art. You go on saying, you know, it's an art of communication, just shy of singing. And tell me about that, because just listening to that piece, I mean, there is rhythm, and you can almost hear the music behind it.
Yeah, I think poetry and music, you know, somewhere along the line, they have a common ancestor. And I think as poets, we're often interested about sound, or like how to make something, quote unquote, sing, whether in terms of rhythm or rhyme, or just, you know, I think we're all just sort of like off key and tone deaf singers at the end of the day. If I could sing, I'd leave all this poetry stuff behind. but I think, you know, I think songwriters and poets do share a lot in common of trying to distill something that is, you know, uniquely human or uniquely strange or sad or, you know, joyous or whatever it is that we're trying to sort of narrow down into its most essential self. And then the hope is that the voice doesn't mess it up.
And, you know, what's interesting, too, is you do not make any apologies for the type of poetry, the type of performing that you do. And what I mean by that is it can be, for lack of a better word, pretty out there and in your face and harsh in a way. But does that almost stand up and make your audience listen?
Maybe the people, I don't think it's that shocking for the people who I consider my audience.
Well, true.
Who I'm writing to the most intimately, you know, sure. I think maybe for folks who are like interested in the status quo, or like who might not, you know, be used to a lot of black people or queer people being in their space, some of these things might read as salacious, or political in a way that makes them uncomfortable. But for me, these are the stories and languages and poems that I know how to write for the people that I commune with every single day.
So tell me how that translates to coming to a place like Idaho.
You know, Idaho's paying me very well. But it doesn't, you know, I mean, then in that case, then I guess I might be trying to push the needle for those folks who might be in the show a little bit. I'm not going to show up and be a different poet. I only know how to be who I am. And then maybe it's a point of solace for somebody who feels like they don't see a lot of reflections of themselves in Idaho or in Boise. And so then hopefully I can come and provide some breath of fresh air or charge to keep going for those folks in the audience too.
Well, and that's an interesting point, though, that why change who you are in order to make other people comfortable?
Exactly. You know, when the folks at the Cabin, literary, whatever, booked me, they knew who they were booking. You know, I wasn't going to come and show up and be Robert Frost. I can only be Dinez Smith.
And you, in fact, I mean, let's give you credit where credit is due, because you've won the Lambda Literary Award for gay poetry. Tell me, and this is a nationally acclaimed book of poetry. Tell me about what that's like to not just win, you know, an award. I mean, everybody likes a little, you know, pat on the back, but to be recognized at that level for your work.
I try not to think about it too much. It's a great point of encouragement, of course, and I'm very thankful to all the institutions that have given me either awards or money or whatever, or recognition along the way. But it doesn't help write the next poem. If anything, it's encouragement to say, hey, you're up to something good, keep going. But at the end of the day, I have to turn my focus on to what is next, to the new poems, to the new books, to the new ideas and the new stories. And so so I try not to get too caught up in those moments of recognition, though lovely. They are not the actual work. And I would write without them, too. At least I hope I would. I think I would. I think I would write without them, because at a certain point I was a nobody, and I'd still love this thing.
And you were still writing, right?
Yeah, I was still writing, you know. I was writing before anybody told me that you could, you know, win a thing for it. And I try to remain as close as possible to that impulse that of why I write. And it's not for any type of institutional recognition or acclaim, but rather to catalog, you know, the wrath and whimsy of being alive.
I'm speaking with poet Dinaz Smith. They will be in Boise tonight at the Cabins reading Ghosts and Projectors poetry series. And what can we expect with what you will be presenting this evening?
Hopefully good poems. I've tried my
there
best.
You go, right?
Make them good. Yeah. You know, I just hope we have a good and challenging time, you know? And that's about it. I will try to be the best poet that I can be. That's all I can promise.
And well, you also say in some things that I've read that poetry, you know, in and of itself can be political. Talk to me a little bit about that, because, you know, there is a lot of truth in that, especially in the you know, climate and the culture that we live in right now.
Yeah, I think poetry is always political because poetry is about observation. And so I think it's always a political act to decide what a poet spends their time to like slow down and focus on for a little bit, whether that be love or flowers or grandma or like literal politics or our borders or our police or our prisons or whatever it may be in the country. If you're choosing to look at it, I think to like focus on a thing is a political act. And so every poem is political. If you look at it hard enough, you just have to ask yourself in what ways. I stay close to that. There's an old quote. I don't know who was the first to say it. I've heard it attributed to like five different people. I think it was Angela Davis, who said the personal is political and the political is personal. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I learned that so early in my life that now I can't distinguish, because anything that has to do with myself or with the people around me is a political thing. Politics are about people in the world to me. So then, and because poems are about people in the world, then poems are political.
I want to thank you for chatting with me today. I appreciate your time, poet Dinaz Smith. They will be at the Cabin this evening as part of the Ghosts and Projectors poetry series. Thanks so much for the conversation today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.